There's a benchmark called Skills Bench that was built to measure one very specific thing. If you hand an AI agent a well-written instruction document, what the field calls a skill, how much better does the agent get at its job? And when human experts write those documents, the answer is a lot better. Pass rates jump by about 16 percentage points. That's a big lever. So researchers asked the obvious follow-up: can the language model just write its own skill documents? And the answer came back, zero. Not a small improvement, zero. The model produces documents that are fluent, detailed, completely plausible looking, and that help exactly as much as handing the agent nothing at all. The paper that digs into why, and what to do about it, is called Skill Acts: Sharpening LLM-Authored Agent Skills Through Evaluation-Guided Self-Refinement, from a team at Microsoft. It went up on Archive on June 9th, 2026, and we're recording 2 days later.
And before we chase that zero, quick ground rules. The voice you just heard is Bella. I'm Tyler. We are both AI voices from 11 Labs. The script for this episode was written by Anthropic's Claude Fable 5, so the whole show is AI generated. And the producer has no affiliation with Anthropic or with 11 Labs. Which gives this episode a slightly funny mirror-in-a-mirror quality, because it's AI-generated content about why AI-generated content fails.
And the failure turns out to be much more interesting than the model writes bad documents. Because the documents aren't obviously bad. If you read one, it looks great. It has sections, it has examples, it has confident step-by-step guidance. It just doesn't move the needle. So the puzzle isn't really about writing quality at all, it's about feedback. Nobody, human or machine, is getting told why a skill failed.
Let's back up one step though, because I think skill is doing a lot of work here, and not everyone has the same picture. We're not talking about code, and we're not talking about training the model.
Right, a skill is documentation. Imagine a markdown file sitting in a folder the agent can browse, titled something like, "How to fill out Word templates correctly." It has a short description so the agent knows when to pull it up, some trigger conditions, and then a body of instructions. If you've heard of Claude's agent skills, this is exactly that pattern. The mental model I'd give people is an employee handbook that the intern may or may not consult. The agent reads it at runtime, and crucially, the agent keeps full discretion. It can ignore the skill, it can misread it, it can never open it at all.
And that discretion is the whole ballgame, isn't it? Because if the agent is free to ignore the document, then when a task fails, you genuinely don't know what happened. Was the document wrong? Did the agent skip it? Did the document never get loaded in the first place?
That's exactly the diagnosis the authors land on. The only signal anyone has today is task level pass or fail. One bit. And that one bit collapses at least four completely different failure modes into a single, undifferentiated, it didn't work. Maybe the instructions were genuinely wrong. Maybe the skill fired on the wrong kind of task. Maybe the agent ignored perfectly good guidance. Or maybe the skill only covered one of several valid ways to solve the problem, and the agent happened to take a different road. Four diseases, one symptom. And here's the part that makes naive refinement actively dangerous, not just slow. If your improvement loop treats every failure as the skill must be bad, you end up rewriting rules that were already correct, because the agent botched them, not because they were wrong. You don't just fail to improve, you erode your good content over time.
That's worth sitting with, because it's an instance of a really old problem in learning systems: credit assignment. When something goes wrong in a multi-part pipeline, which part deserves the blame? Get that wrong, and your fixes compound the damage. And the reason this version of the problem is hard is that there's no oracle anywhere. Compare it to the famous skill library work before this. Voyager, the Minecraft agent that built up a library of reusable abilities. Voyager could improve its skills because the environment told it the truth. The code either ran or it crashed. The goal was either achieved or it wasn't. free verification. But format this spreadsheet for the client has no verifier. Nobody labels the output in deployment. No test suite, no game score, no reward function. So the question this paper is really asking is, can an agent diagnose and repair its own instruction documents using nothing but its own behavior? It's the difference between coaching a student with an answer key versus coaching them by watching two of their attempts and reasoning about what changed.
And that framing, watching two attempts, is literally the core move. Here's the insight in one sentence. A skill document already contains its own evaluation criteria. The skill says when it should activate. The skill says what rules to follow. The skill implies what a good outcome looks like. So you don't need an external answer key. You run the agent on the task twice, once bare and once with the skill injected, and you grade the difference against the skill's own stated rules.
Which is a genuinely elegant move, because the thing being evaluated supplies the rubric for its own evaluation. Though I'll flag now, and we'll come back to this, every one of those grading steps is an LLM making a judgment call. There's no ground truth hiding anywhere in this system. Keep that in your back pocket.
Noted, and we will absolutely come back to it. So with those two runs in hand, SkillAx diagnoses the difference along four dimensions, and the best way to hear them is as a funnel, like a doctor running a differential diagnosis instead of just being told, the patient didn't get better, change the treatment. Question one, did the skill help at all? An LLM judge looks at the with skill output and the without skill output in randomized order so it doesn't know which is which, and decides better, worse, or tie, and by how much. That's the outer loop signal. A small regression means do some local rewriting. A catastrophic one means the skill's whole strategy might be wrong. Question two, did the skill fire on the right tasks in the first place? Maybe the instructions are fine, but the targeting is off.
Like prescribing the right drug to the wrong patient.
Exactly. Question three is the big one. Did the agent actually follow the instructions? And if not, whose fault was that? And question four, does the skill cover all the legitimate ways the agent might approach this task, or just one of them? Four questions, four different repairs. Everything gets compiled into what the authors call an improvement brief, a structured document of findings, and an LLM uses that brief to rewrite the skill. So instead of, the task failed, try again, the rewriter gets, your trigger description is too narrow, rule three is too vague to follow, and you don't cover the formula-based approach at all.
Let's take the targeting one first, since it's the most geometric. How does a system measure whether a skill fires on the right tasks without ever deploying it?
With embeddings, and if that word is new, here's the only picture you need. An embedding model converts a phrase into a point on a giant semantic map, where phrases with similar meanings land near each other, regardless of exact wording. Build a budget spreadsheet and create an expense tracker, sit close together. Summarize this PDF, sits far away. Once you have that map, you can do geometry on meaning. So picture each skill as a store in a mall with signage. The sign says who should come in. Create spreadsheets from scratch. And who shouldn't? Not for chart images. Plot all those phrases on the map, and a good skill carves out a clear catchment area with crisp boundaries. A bad skill is a store whose welcome sign only attracts a sliver of its intended customers, or whose no entry sign hangs confusingly close to the front door, so the wrong shoppers keep wandering in. SkillAx measures exactly those three things. Is the activation zone wide enough? Are the exclusions far enough away? And is any single ambiguous phrase sitting dangerously right on the boundary?
There's one technical wrinkle in there I actually think is clever enough to spell out. The word spreadsheet appears in both the welcome sign and the no entry sign. Create a spreadsheet versus do not trigger for spreadsheet chart images. A naive embedding of just the word would put both in the same spot, but they embed each phrase with its surrounding sentence. So the negation context pulls the excluded spreadsheet toward a different region of the map. Same word, different neighborhoods, because the sentence around it changes what it means.
And the trigger analysis produced one of my favorite incidental findings in the whole paper. When they measured human-written skills on these metrics, it turns out humans almost never write exclusion clauses at all. The negative specificity score for human skills is essentially zero. Humans write, "This skill is for X," and just trust the reader to infer what it's not for. LLMs have the opposite vice. They over-enumerate scenarios but draw fuzzy boundaries. After refinement, SkillAx's skill descriptions ended up with roughly 3 times wider discrimination margins than the human-written ones, better at matching the right task than the experts.
Okay, now the centerpiece. Question 3, compliance and fault attribution. Because this is the idea I'd want every listener to walk away with, even if they forget everything else.
So here's how it works. An LLM reads the skill document and extracts its rules as a grading rubric. And notice, the rubric comes from the skill itself, not from any external label. Each rule gets a severity weight. Then each rule gets judged against file-level evidence, the actual formulas in the spreadsheet, the actual formatting codes, the structural diff between input and output. Not the agent's claims about what it did, the receipts. And then comes the question the paper hangs everything on. When a rule was violated, SkillAx doesn't just mark it failed. It asks, was this rule precise enough to deserve following? The worked example is perfect. The skill says to highlight certain cells in yellow, and the agent uses the wrong shade, a pale, buttery yellow instead of pure yellow. Same observed behavior in both scenarios. Now, scenario 1. The rule specified the exact 6-character color code for pure yellow. The agent had everything it needed and got it wrong anyway. That's the agent's fault. The rule is fine. Preserve it. Scenario 2. The rule just said, use a yellow background. Vague. The agent guessed, plausibly, and guessed wrong. That's the skill's fault. Sharpen the rule, add the code. Identical failure, opposite repairs, and the only way to know which repair is right is to ask whether the instruction deserved to be followed.
The recipe version of this is how it clicked for me. A dish comes out burnt. If the recipe said, bake at 350 for 25 minutes, and the cook eyeballed it, you don't rewrite the recipe. The recipe was fine. Your cook is unreliable. If the recipe said, bake until done, the recipe eats the blame. And the deeper point is what happens to a kitchen that gets this wrong. If you rewrite every recipe after every bad dish, you will eventually ruin all your good recipes. That's the failure mode SkillAx is built to prevent. Mechanically, the way they encode it is a kind of partial pardon. A rule's credit starts with how well the agent adhered to it, and then the portion of the failure that was the agent's doing gets restored to the skill. So a well-written rule that the agent ignored doesn't drag the skill's score down. And the output is 2 separate numbers instead of 1. A compliance score that says how well the agent executed, and a skill score that says how well the instructions were written. Low compliance means the agent failed. Low skill score means rewrite the document. Those used to be one indistinguishable signal.
And there's a real case in the results where this mattered. A court form-filling task was scoring 50%, and the compliance diagnostics caught that the agent was ignoring field ordering constraints that were actually in the skill. The fix wasn't to rewrite correct rules, it was to make the ones being ignored harder to miss. After refinement, that task went to a perfect score. The 4th diagnostic is quicker, but it carries a nice conceptual reframe. A spreadsheet task might be solvable 4 different ways. A Python data library like Pandas, a different spreadsheet manipulation library, Windows automation, or plain in-sheet formulas. The skill is not a program. It can't force the agent down one road. The paper's phrase is that skills act as guidance priors over a broader space of possible agent behaviors. So if the agent legitimately takes Road C and your skill only documents Road A, the skill is operationally useless, even though every sentence in it is correct. Skill Axe enumerates the plausible solution paths and checks that each one has some chunk of skill text covering it. A skill that brilliantly covers one of four valid paths scores low, by design.
Which encodes a real opinion about what a skill should be. Not a script. A map of the territory, with notes on every major route. So, results. Bella, give us the headline, and then I want to take over because what's underneath the headline is the most interesting empirical finding in the paper.
The headline, on skills bench, one single iteration of this loop, run twice, diagnose, rewrite once, lifts LLM-authored skills from about 32.5% pass rate to about 42. A 28% relative gain, closing somewhere between half and two-thirds of the gap to human-written skills, depending on how you grade. We'll get to that depending later, because you'll have things to say about it.
Oh, I will. But first, the decomposition. The authors split pass rate into two factors, coverage times quality. Coverage is, did the agent finish at all? Did it produce something valuable rather than crashing or stalling out? Quality is, given that it finished, was the output actually right? And here's the result. Among tasks that completed, correctness with Skill Axe skills and correctness with no skills at all are identical, 57.1%. Both. To the decimal. The skills contributed nothing, to whether a completed answer was correct. The entire gain, all of it, came from coverage. Without skills, the agent finished under half its tasks. With refined skills, almost three quarters. Skills don't make the agent smarter. They keep it from tripping on the way to the finish line.
That genuinely reframes what these documents are for, doesn't it?
It does. And there's a story in the appendix that makes it visceral. A task involves filling in a word template, replacing placeholders like candidate name wrapped in double curly braces. The no-skill agent does the obvious thing, search for the placeholder, replace it, and it silently fails. Because Word, internally, doesn't store that placeholder as one string. It splits text across multiple internal chunks. Candy might live in one chunk, and date name in another. So a search for the full placeholder never matches anything. The agent isn't being dumb. It's missing a piece of arcane procedural trivia that no amount of reasoning ability reconstructs from first principles. The refined skill explicitly warns about this and says, do replacement at the paragraph level instead. The analogy I'd reach for is the brilliant consultant who flies in to fix your company's finances and fails. Not because her analysis was wrong, but because she couldn't badge into the building, didn't know the file server needs VPN, and the third floor printer jams unless you use Tray 2. She didn't need more intelligence. She needed the orientation packet. That's what skills turned out to be. Institutional knowledge, not extra IQ.
And that quietly pushes against a big assumption in agent research, that capability gaps are reasoning gaps, that the model just isn't smart enough yet. This says a large share of failure, at least for capable models, is the printer jams unless Tray 2 layer of the world. Which is also why the LLM-authored skills scored zero originally, right? A model writing a skill from its general knowledge produces fluent advice about things the agent already knows. The valuable content is exactly the stuff nobody knows until something fails.
Which is the perfect setup for Act 2, because Act 2 is about learning from failures at scale. Take it away.
So the second experiment moves from, can you fix one skill for one task, to, can this run as a production flywheel? The setting is spreadsheet bench, with Excel Copilot as the agent. And worth noting, this is a Microsoft team. This is home turf for them. They start with no skill library at all and stream 200 training tasks past the system. For each incoming task, Skill Axe decides, is this new territory that deserves a brand new skill? Is it close to an existing skill that should be improved? Or is it a near duplicate worth skipping? Improvements per skill are capped, so no skill overfits to a handful of examples. And the routing does something organic and kind of lovely. Related tasks naturally cluster into broad hub skills. The top five skills end up absorbing 3/4 of all the routed tasks. Compare the naive baseline, which writes one narrow skill per failure pattern and sprawls out to 69 documents. Skill Axe ends with 22. Then the honest test. On held out tasks, the skills are optional. The agent sees a manifest of names and descriptions and decides for itself whether to load anything, exactly like real deployment. The bear agent passes 16% of tasks, with the Skill Axe library, 52, more than tripled.
And now the number I find most interesting, because it complicates the headline. The naive 69 skill library also hits 52%. Exactly. Both libraries fix the identical set of 18 tasks.
Right. So on accuracy, refinement bought nothing there. The lift came from having skills at all. What Skill Axe bought is compression and discoverability. 22 skills doing the work of 69, and this is the part I love, the refined skills get loaded by the agent nearly twice as often. About 36% of queries versus 20. The toolbox analogy, a junk drawer of 69 unlabeled items and a toolbox of 22 well-labeled compartments can contain the same capability, but you reach for the toolbox. The agent recognizes what each refined skill is for, so it actually uses them.
And to the author's credit, they say this themselves, almost word for word. The primary benefit here is compression, not accuracy. Which matters operationally, by the way, not just aesthetically. That manifest of skill descriptions gets injected into every prompt. Fewer, sharper skills means lower token cost, lower latency, and documentation that actually gets read. Anyone who's maintained a wiki knows that 69 documents nobody opens is worth less than 22 that people do.
Okay, Tyler, you've been holding your tongue since the disclosure, the critique. What should a careful reader push on?
Several things, and all of them come from the paper's own numbers, which I want to stress. This is a paper honest enough to hand you its own counterarguments. First and biggest, the headline gap closing claim depends entirely on which grading protocol you read. The abstract says Skill Axe closes 47 to 67% of the gap to human authored skills. But SkillsBench ships with its own native scoring, human written test suites, continuous rewards, the most conservative measure, and the one most comparable to prior work. Under that scoring, Skill Axe gets 27.3. No skill gets 24.9. Human skills get 46. Do the arithmetic, and Skill Axe closes about 11% of the gap. 11, not 67.
So where do the flattering numbers come from?
From a binary pass rate framing plus an alternative grader the authors built themselves. They call it the FAIR grader, a multimodal LLM judge that sees the task, the inputs, and the rendered outputs, the actual spreadsheet as an image, but not the test suite, and asks, did the agent substantively complete the task? And look, their motivation is legitimate. The native test suites really are over-rigid. They reject answers over exact decimal precision, specific metadata fields, formulas that don't trigger recalculation. Solving the task a different valid way gets you a zero. The teacher grading analogy is apt. A rubric reading human is more humane to legitimate alternatives than a multiple choice answer key. But it's also more subjective. And when a paper introduces its own judge and then looks best under that judge's scoring, your eyebrow should go up. The authors flag LLM judge calibration bias as a limitation themselves. They know.
There's also the evaluation context issue, right? On SkillsBench, each skill gets refined using the very task it's then evaluated on.
Yes. And to be precise about what that does and doesn't mean. No ground truth labels leak in. The loop never sees the answer key. But the refinement loop does get to watch the agent attempt the test task and adjust the skill accordingly. That's a meaningfully easier setting than improving a skill for tasks you haven't seen. The spreadsheet bench experiment exists precisely to answer that with a real train-test split. But as we said, in that experiment, the refinement added zero accuracy over naive skills. And then statistical power. 2 trials per task. Confidence intervals of plus or minus 8 to 10 percentage points, which is wider than the skill acts over raw LLM effect itself under native scoring. The authors literally write that a third trial seed will tighten things. There's also a genuinely odd wrinkle buried in the fair grader numbers. Raw LLM skills score below no skill there. And among completed tasks, the fair grader quality with skill acts is 75% versus 91% without any skills. Skills push the agent to attempt more tasks, but each attempt finishes at lower per-attempt quality. Closes the gap glosses right over that texture.
So the calibrated summary would be something like, the diagnostic framework is genuinely novel, and the fault attribution idea is sound. The controlled improvement is real but modest under the strictest scoring, and the deployment win is compression and usability rather than accuracy.
That's where I land. And I'd add, the author's own limitations section gets most of the way there, which raises my trust rather than lowering it.
Let's do those, because they're substantive. First, rule-level refinement can't catch structural misalignment. If a skill teaches a fundamentally wrong strategy, it can be perfectly internally consistent. The agent follows every rule, compliance looks great, and the dish is still wrong because the recipe was for the wrong dish. The funnel has no question that catches that. Second, skills are evaluated one at a time. In a real library, multiple skills can be active simultaneously and conflict with each other, not modeled at all. Third, the judge problem we've already covered. Both compliance grading and the fair grader are LLMs, with known positional and calibration biases. And fourth, the one I find most sobering, the broader impact section concedes that imperfect diagnostics could reinforce wrong procedural guidance over repeated cycles. The flywheel can spin the wrong way. If the judge misattributes fault even occasionally, the loop confidently bakes errors into persistent documents that every future run inherits. They explicitly recommend human review before deploying auto-refined skills in production.
Which is the right call? And it connects to why I think the fault attribution idea is the piece of this paper that outlives the benchmarks. The principle generalizes way beyond skills. Any self-improvement loop that treats every failure as evidence against the artifact being improved will erode its correct content over time. That applies to prompt optimizers, to memory systems, to agents editing their own tool descriptions, anything that maintains a persistent artifact from noisy outcome signals. Separating the instructions were bad from the executor ignored good instructions is a design principle, not a spreadsheet trick.
And it pairs with the line of the paper, the one worth quoting straight. The central question is not only whether the agent followed the skill, but whether the skill deserved to be followed in the first place. There's something almost managerial about it. Good managers don't rewrite the process every time an employee makes a mistake. They ask whether the process was followable.
The other thing that sticks with me is the reframing you landed earlier, Bella. Skills as institutional knowledge rather than intelligence. Because it suggests the path to better agents in messy real-world domains isn't only bigger models. It's agents that accumulate the orientation packet. The word splits placeholders trivia. The printer tray 2 facts, from their own failures, automatically. The paper's flywheel framing is, every failed run makes the next one more likely to succeed. Aspirational, given everything we just said about judges and wrong-way flywheels. But for the first time, there's a concrete mechanism behind the slogan. Not just try again, but diagnose which of 4 things broke and fix that one.
Fluency without function was the disease, Differential diagnosis is the treatment. Whether the treatment scales past one iteration and survives its own judges, that's the next paper. If you want to dig in yourself, the paper and a few related reads are linked in the show notes. And for the full transcript, with every piece of jargon tappable for a definition, plus links to other episodes that share these ideas, head to paperdive.ai.
Thanks for spending the commute with us.
This has been AI Papers, a deep dive. See you next time.